Well, this evening we have the opportunity to hear a couple testimonies again of God's grace. One of these families I've known for 46 years. The other family, I think we'll just leave it here. The other family, the Bouchamp family, I've actually just gotten to know over this last year, and many of you as well, and some of you haven't gotten to know them yet, so we're going to have them come on up first, Dave and Carrie and Jean-Luc, come and share with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So, we're the Bouchamp family, Dave, Carrie, Jean-Luc, as Phil said. We spent some time getting to know a few folks, but thought this was a good opportunity for you to get to know a little bit more about us. And how God has worked in our lives and how we came to Gold Country Baptist. So we both came from families that were not believers, so this was that's the way that we grew up. So we came to Christ, light and life, and by God's grace, the Lord has brought Carrie and I together. So I'm going to let Carrie just speak a little bit about how she came to Christ, and then I'll kind of go on from there. And then Jean-Luc will share a little bit.
It was probably very simple, really, nothing too complicated. As David mentioned, we both grew up in families that were not believers. But when we look back over our lives, we can see that there were periods in time where God touched us. You know, whether it was in grade school and maybe a grandmother, you know, saying something, or a friend maybe, or maybe just getting invited to go to a special Sunday school event because we didn't attend church. My parents didn't. Flash forward to I'm in my 30s and I have a friend that I'm working with, and she was so cute. She had bright red hair and very flamboyant, and she loved the Lord. And I kind of thought, wow, okay. But we got along very well at work. And every day at lunch, once a week, she would, on Wednesday, share a story from the night before of a women's Bible study. And I was like, oh, okay. And after a couple of months, she says, you know, would you like to join me? And I thought, I don't know. Well, okay. So I did, and I remember going in and sitting down with everybody, and I'm thinking, really nervous, and like, what am I going to hear? You know, my parents were Catholic. You know, I probably know most of this stuff, but I walked out of there 2 hours later thinking, this is nothing like I had ever heard, and why haven't I heard this before? This is completely new. So I purchased a Bible, and about a year I read from cover to cover because I said, you know what? Okay. I think maybe this is true. I think there's something to it, but I need to know for sure. And yeah, I was like, okay, I've read it and he's shown himself to me and I have no choice. I'm accepting him as my Lord and Savior. And that was so pretty straightforward and fairly simple, but and it's been a wonderful adventure ever since. And a few years later we met David.
So I had moved back up here from Southern California and was going back to school, and Carrie and I met, and it was certainly by God's grace and a blessing. I mean, it was all divine that we came together, because it's not something that we would have ever probably done on our own. So that was back in like the early 2000s, and we met, and a few years later, we got married, mid 2000s, and then we were blessed with a child, which we didn't think was going to even be a possibility. So God worked in our lives, you know, and we didn't think we could have any. We got one, and we're blessed to have one. So, yeah. So, we do live in Folsom, so we're probably one of the, you know, we live down that part of the, of, this area. And, you know, we've been to large churches and small churches, and we've attended some of the family camps. So we do know some of the folks here and, you know, can we know what goes on in family camps? And it's great. We've really enjoyed it. So there's families that we've known for numbers of years because, when we thought we might grow our family, we started the adoption process through Compassion for Congo. And it was a difficult time, and we ended up having to really just kind of close the door on it. It wasn't going to work out for us. So God said, you're going to have one and make the most of it, and I'm going to see you through it all. So that kind of gets us closer to where we are now. We've been homeschooling Classical Conversations for numbers of years. We know some families here, the Hills and a few others that have done that, you know, and so we're trying to live that out as well. So what kind of brings us to where we are here in 2021 is in 2020, when things were getting, got bad with COVID and shutting doors and churches weren't meeting, we were at Grace Bible Church, and that's where we've been attending. Things were not good in Sacramento County. So we said, well, the Hills came to us and said, hey, Grace, Gold Country's been meeting. Why don't you come up? So it was June of last year. So we started, you know, coming up here and felt like it was God working in our lives. A lot of liberty, a lot of fellowship, people enjoying each other's company, and we knew that we could grow this way. So it's been a great growth for us for the last year. So we've connected with several, you know, several of the families now and gotten to know in these activities. And I'm going to ask Jean-Luc to talk about kind of his experience here in the last year or so, and then, and most recently in youth group, and then I'll kind of wrap it up, so.
So when I first started, well, when we first came here, I wasn't quite sure if I was going to join youth group because we were busy. I have my karate and we were doing some other things. So it wasn't really working out at the time. And then the Hills, Lydia, she goes there. And so she was kind of talking about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So maybe I'll try this and, you know, see how I like it. Well, it turns out, so I go to youth group, and I really like it. I'm enjoying it. I have a lot, lots of fun, and I think there's still ice cream left. So the ice cream's good, and I'm just having a lot of fun there and enjoying Mr. Freeman talking, and that's really helped me to understand certain things, and really just helped a lot better, you know, more than I thought it would.
Thanks, Tim. So there's a testimony about how important youth group is, which kind of reflects back just a little bit. So, I mean, I was touched by the Lord in VBS back in the 70s. And though I didn't grow up in the family, I knew that he was already working in my life back then. So the youth ministry, even if it's just moments, have, you know, the Lord has predestined us and has we are selected early on. And I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, it's definitely there. So VBS is important. Even if you don't think you're reaching them, God works in his timing. And even us late bloomers, it might be the long way around, but late bloomers do come to know the Lord later in life. So parents, don't lose hope. And if your kids aren't there yet and they don't know and you haven't seen it yet, living it out. So, but I was actually so as a family, reflecting on what Corey was preaching about this morning, just about not just hearing the word, but be doers of the word and really try to live it out. And part of, we do that as a family, but also through homeschooling to know God and to make him known. So I'm going to paraphrase just, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, just to live those out and practice them daily is difficult. It's not easy. And it is a work in progress, but God's growing us as, you know, as individuals and as a family. And we're blessed that we can be part of this family. And thank you for, you know, this opportunity to be here and join with you and fellowship with you and worship our Lord, who continues to work in our lives to his glory and for our good.
All right, well, I'm privileged now to introduce my parents, Jerry and Donna Layton. I've actually had the blessing of growing up in their home, counting them my heroes, and also traveling all across the United States camping with them for many years. So this is just like old times. But come on up, Mom and Dad, and share how God has been working in your lives.
Well, we're both 77 years old. We have four grown children. Two of them are here, and we have one in Arizona and one in Pennsylvania. And we are blessed with 18 grandchildren. And we've been married almost 52 years. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of our background and show you how it plays into God's working in our lives. My mother grew up here in California, and she lived on a property that was homesteaded by her grandmother near Paso Robles. And my dad grew up in Colorado, but was stationed at Camp Roberts during World War II, and that's where my parents met. And I was the firstborn of three children. I have two younger brothers. And we moved to Colorado after the war was over. And I will tell you that I was an extremely willful, stubborn child. Mm-hmm. My mother, I got spanked more than my brothers put together. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, they were much more sensitive. And I knew I was a sinner. Mm. I wished that I didn't get in trouble so much. And I was in elementary school, and there was a bus that came around. It was probably a gospel bus or some name like that. And they were, they filled up with kids, and I had my mother's permission to go, then they would stop and teach a Bible lesson. And they asked me if I wanted Jesus to save me from my sins. And boy, did I ever. So I raised my hand. I got a bunch of literature. And then I was so excited to think that Jesus had saved me from my sins until about an hour or two later when I did something wrong. And I realized that I was still a sinner. And after that, I really wanted to know God. I wanted to please him. I spent many years trying to please God by going to church and doing things, but never really knowing him.
Thank you for those confessions. And I want to share how God was preparing the two of us over those 27 years before we met. I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, where my dad had shipped out during World War II. And I grew up in Seattle, Washington, where eventually that's where I went to seminary later, many years. But Seattle, went to seminary later in Tacoma. But I was a middle child between two sisters, Linda and Lita. And now, sort of mysteriously, when we moved here, They're living up in Grass Valley. It's just great to have them nearby. And for those 27 years, God was working sovereignly in our lives through the prayer of influential people, people who influenced us all of that time. And we can look back now, and we're so thankful for those people. I was thankful all along. I knew that Grandma Sims was praying for me. I called her Grandma Sims. She was a babysitter when I was about 10. I knew how to read, and she taught me the book of Genesis, and she had me practically memorize Genesis chapter 1 and taught me the value of reading through the Bible and praying. And this was when I was just a little kid. We were going to a very liberal church, and that influenced me greatly. But I remember sitting in a Sunday school class with a missionary from somewhere overseas, but he was very passionate, and he had us and me personally pray, get on my knees and pray to receive Jesus as my personal Savior, as my Lord and Savior, he said. And Grandma Sims had taught me to pray in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I had no idea what that meant, even when I got up off my knees and I prayed. And just like Donna, I sinned again and wondered what was going on. But I wondered, what does that mean to pray in, as Jesus as my Lord and Savior? How does that fit with my religion, my weak religion? Well, a second influence that happened right at that time was my grandfather's book. My grandfather was a missionary. He was a missionary in Belgian Congo. He had written a book called his memoirs and described the people in Congo. And because I had studied Genesis, I knew that God made all people in his image. And I saw these pictures of people that didn't look like me, and I realized, hey, that's because of the Tower of Babel, and that God distributed people around the world by nations. I never had a concept of race in my whole life after that. And so I just thought that was so wonderful. And then he had pictures also of people. He went to China for a little bit while he was still a missionary, and I saw those people there, and I realized, yeah, they look different again. And so there's these different people groups all over the world. And then I just got this passion already for missions. I just thought it was such an important thing. And so one other thing during that time, I just began to pray and pray for God's leading in my life. And yet I didn't know him. I wanted to know this Jesus, why he was my Lord, or should be my Lord.
When I was about 14, my parents divorced, and then they both remarried, and my stepdad and my was Lutheran. So my mother and I went through catechism to become members of the Lutheran Church. And so I had some good head knowledge and some good doctrine, but it was all just head knowledge. And at that point, I thought, I was hoping that my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds so that I could go to heaven. I had no concept of the holiness of God and the fact that he can't allow sin into his heaven. I went to college, and after college I joined the Peace Corps and ended up, I wanted to teach physical education in South America, but they asked me to teach science in the Philippines. So I said, sure, why not? And so I went to the Philippines, and that is where I met my husband. We met in the Peace Corps office in Cebu City, Philippines, and about a year later, we were married in Dumaguete City, Philippines.
Okay, so I'll tell you how I ended up there. When I was in college also, my parents divorced, and it was devastating after my first year of college, and I was so confused. And my older sister took me in, and I ended up transferring from one college to Humboldt State College, where I finished up in sciences, social sciences, with a lot of emphasis on biology and whatnot. And what happened then, I was drafted into the Army.
This was during the Vietnam War.
During the Vietnam War. And I thought, well, I need to serve my country. My dad served the country. I was ready to enlist. I went to the Peace Corps, or to the government, where we had physical exams, and I flunked because of my eyesight. Everything was okay, but I couldn't see a thing when I took my thick glasses off. I'm wearing contacts right now, so I see everybody clearly.
But you were contact arms
and top. They said that I was combat arms ineligible. And the lady at the end of the line as I was leaving said her son had just joined the Peace Corps, and she thought I should do that. And my science background was just right for that. And so she gave me all the papers, and I got back a magazine with a picture of a little Filipino girl on the cover, and I thought, wow, I want to be in a country where people are so beautiful and smiling and everything. And so I went to the Philippines. I was recruited to the Philippines also to train science teachers, and I got there 1 year ahead of another young lady who came in the next batch. We were in totally different cities until we had a vacation time together where we were training, doing some kind of
summer project.
Summer project.
You go ahead.
Oh, I go on there?
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well in the, what we were, yeah, she said we got married. What happened was, I thought you were going to just ignore. Anyway, we did have, okay, just a short brief of our about our courtship.
Oh, I okay.
Yeah, how did we end up getting married?
Well, we got married a year after we met, and we
Okay, well, I'll rescue you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we had a great time. We in that year, there just a few months in Cebu City in the very central Philippines. We had time to talk and talk with one another and just got to know each other so well. And then finally it was time for me to leave. And my kind of the next thing I planned to do was to go and be a Peace Corps volunteer in Vietnam. Wow. And I thought, well, I can do that. I was really idealistic, but this young lady has captured my heart. And I talked it over with her. And what did you say?
What do you propose to do about this?
So we went directly to the Peace Corps director. Well, I did propose to her at that point. And we made a few commitments. I said, I told her about Grandma Sims. And I said, we need to read the Bible through. And we need, in my mind, we needed to start with Genesis, but we needed to get right to the New Testament and understand why Jesus is Lord and Savior. But we went to the, with that in mind, we went to the Peace Corps director and just told him our problem. And he laughed. He said, you are my answer to prayer. I says, what do you mean? He says, I've got all these requests for Peace Corps volunteers, and there's only one I cannot fulfill because it requires a married couple in a university. And he said, you're the ones. And I think he volunteered to be our best man in the wedding.
Yeah.
And so, well, okay. And so things were really on a roll, and we did end up getting married in the city where we were going to work, at the university chapel where we were going to work. It was a it was Silliman University. It was Presbyterian, I think, or yeah, something like that. And the thing that really disturbed me about the science program, because back when I was in college, I had written a research paper on evolution, and I went through the data that anthropologist evolutionists were giving for why we evolved from apes. And every single point that I made, the research that I drew it from was, I found out, was refuted by some other scientist at the time. So I ended up at that time, that was in 69 or so, that just shortly before we got married, that evolution seemed to have no basis. And yet when we were in the Philippines at this university, at a science training center for teachers, they had all these symbols or different projects showing evolution, supposedly, and showing the missing links and all this. And I thought, these people claim to be Christians, but they're believing something that I knew at the time was opposed to the book of Genesis. It was opposed to the 6 days of creation, not just different, but each point, each day of Genesis I had shown in my research paper refuted a very specific tenet of evolution. And I was just crushed. I didn't know what to believe anymore.
And then after Peace Corps, we were recruited by New York State to teach school there. And Jerry got a job teaching junior high science in Hyde Park. And our two oldest children were born there. And I was very big with child named Philip when I trusted the Lord as my personal savior. The church that we had started attending had a special speaker, and it just spoke to my heart, and I realized I could never please God on my own. I had to trust Christ, and I turned my life over to him and said, do whatever you want with me and my life.
And yes.
And you talk about Teresa.
Actually, I came to the Lord first, just shortly before that. I was teaching in my classes, and there was three students, seventh graders, who kept witnessing to me and inviting me to their church. And they said, it's not too far, it's only an hour away. You'd love to come to our church. And so I didn't even think of doing that. But instead, what we did was we got involved with teaching. Some Jehovah's Witnesses came by, and they said, we can give you a Bible study. And I says, we don't want to go to a church. Christians are all hypocrites. And they said, oh, you don't have to go to church. We'll bring the Bible study to you. And so we began this Bible study. And within just a couple of months, we had become so puzzled and upset with their book, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. It was all lies. It was all misquoted Bible verses.
Yeah, I realized that I had some good doctrine at the catechism training in the Lutheran Church, and I knew they were wrong, but I never picked up my Bible. I couldn't prove them wrong. I hadn't read God's Word, and it really frustrated me because I'd never gotten into the Word.
And then one day in one of our sessions, I asked for a Greek interlinear, and I found out that the word Lord is translated in the New Testament as Jehovah. In Romans 10, 8 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I read that and I said, why does it say Lord there and not Jehovah? And I read down three verses later, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved. And I thought, hey, I asked them the next Bible study time, and we were going to tell them we were quitting, and we were going to look for a church because of that. Because I said, hey, this Romans 10, 9 should say, if you believe in your heart, or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Jehovah, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And they said, oh, no, you can't understand that. I said, I've looked at it in the Greek. I know Greek from college. And then
fraternity.
Yeah, and the fraternity, yeah. And so anyway, we left there, and the next day or so, I was in class, and I showed a movie that puzzled me about evolution. And I said, kids, I really can't understand this, but you just have to believe it. I guess I have to teach it. And Teresa and her friends came up to me and they said, Mr. Layton, you don't have to believe in evolution. I said, what? Well, what should I believe? And Teresa said, well, you should come to our church and read the Bible and you'll become a much better science teacher. And she gave me a book called Evolution, the Fossils Say No by Dr. Duane Gish, PhD of the Institute for Creation Research. And I went home and I read that from cover to cover. And then in later years, I bought the updated version. But that's really it. I saw him later as we were growing as Christians.
Duane Gish.
But I told him my testimony. This is what happened. I fell on my knees that day after I read that book. And for 3 hours, I cried out because I had to repent of believing evolution in the first place. I had to repent of, I guess, demons that had just gotten a hold of me because of false teaching and believing false teaching, and repent of that and forsake it. And finally I said, Romans 10:9, I believe that Jesus is Jehovah. And it clicked. That was the thing. Jesus is the Lord and Savior, because the Lord means he is God. And that's the first time in 28 or 9 years, almost 30, that I understood that. Oh, I was telling something else.
Tell us about Dwayne Gish and the fact yes. that he said.
Yeah, we went to visit ICR and met Dwayne Gish. And he said, hey, that book doesn't, that's the public school edition. And I looked, sure enough, that's what it said. He said, there's not any reference to Scripture or to God at all in that book. And I said, yeah, but it refuted evolution. And that's what I needed to confirm my, I needed to believe in Jesus instead.
So we found a good church near our home. And boy, were we on the fast track. We're already 30 years old by then. Within a year, Jerry was on his way to seminary. And after seminary, we became missionaries to the Philippines. And we spent more than 30 plus years as missionaries in the Philippines. We did church planting, but we also did a lot of creation evangelism.
Yep, we traveled all around the country, and pastors just joined me and would take me into the public schools and the universities, like the one where I'd seen all those pictures of so-called evolution. And the people were so interested in hearing about what God said about science. We were just thrilled for all those years and all those opportunities.
And, you know, God uses our past experiences, and he can use them for his good. Like, first of all, our going to the Peace Corps as unsaved individuals, we went back as missionaries, but we had a head start because we knew the culture. Another thing, I mentioned that I was a pretty stubborn child, and perhaps I still have some of that lingering, but it helped me not to give up when the going got tough. With the Holy Spirit's help, it really, especially because the missions isn't always easy, but it helped keep me going. And then I'll just mention that I had a child who was even more stubborn than I was, I think. And it's the child between Lisa and Phil. It's their brother. And he really tested us growing up, but how could I give up on him when God hadn't given up on me? And we made it through his teenage years, and later he thanked us for not giving up on him. I think he was just testing us to see if we'd give up, and of course we didn't. And I'm so thankful, because now he is an elder in his church in Pennsylvania and a godly father of 6 children of his own. So don't despair, parents, if you have a child that's testing you, because he can use some of those characteristics later in life for his good, because he can work all things together for good.
And I just want to also challenge you, as you think of my testimony and the fact that I was challenged by a babysitter when I was a little kid, a grandma, to believe the Bible from the very first verse, and to see the gospel that's there in Genesis, where it's describing the creation of the natural world, and everything's good, 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 each thing is good. And then to go on through the Bible with that as the foundation, that God goodness is in everything and displayed in everything, but also to remember that he is the Lord and Jesus is the Lord. And another false teaching of the cult that we were influenced by, that unraveled right at that time of my salvation, they say that said that the and still say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, is just a spirit like a ghost. And I thought, no, I read in John 17 and there that Jesus says, I am going away, but I'm going to give you another comforter just like me. And I asked them about that. Jesus is another comforter, or he has another comforter he has given us. And he says he's just like me, Jesus said. That means he's a person. And it also goes on to say that he puts that person into my heart when I trust Jesus as my personal Savior. And the JWs were just baffled as what was I talking about? And yet it was a good opportunity to share with them. They were good people. So there are many opportunities, parents, where like us, we just taught our kids everything that needed to be taught, and correcting errors and everything else, and praying is the main thing. So that's it.